stretching as we join our bodies together. But I want you deeper.
Whatever you want.
Alex slowly slides all the way inside me until he's settled in deep. He closes his eyes, ducking to press his forehead against mine as he breathes heavily, his arms tightening around me, holding me close. You feel so good, I tell him, running my fingers through the hair at his nape.
You do too,
he murmurs. He stays still, as if he's trying to prolong the pleasure, and I start to get anxious, squirming beneath him, desperate to feel all that delicious friction as he shifts inside my body.
God, Caroline.
He starts to move, pulling almost all the way out before he plunges back in, slowly, again and again, driving both of us wild. His pace starts to increase, and I hook my legs around his hips, anchoring myself to him, sending him even deeper. So deep, we groan in unison at the delicious sensation. I whisper his name, and his thrusts become uncontrolled, faster, pumping inside of me with a steady rhythm, that familiar tingling making its return, lingering just on the surface. Deciding to help myself along, I touch the spot where I'm tingling the most, my fingers brushing the base of his erection, and his eyes flash open as he tilts his head to watch.
God damn, that's hot,
he says, his gaze lifting to meet mine.
I'm close.
So am I tell him, my fingers speeding up as Alex starts to lose all control, until we're both coming, heading straight into delicious oblivion.
Alex. I'm in the office before 7 a.m. Monday morning, like normal, proud of myself that the jet lag isn't hitting me too hard. For some reason, it's always easier to come back than it is to go over there. Plus, I spent all of Sunday sleeping in bed, so that helped. Sunday night, I spent not sleeping in bed with Caroline, who came over for dinner, which turned into a 2-hour sex romp. We ordered takeout pizza after. She loved my house, going on and on about the view. And when I took her out on the deck to watch the sunset, I lifted up her skirt and fucked her right there. It's like we can't keep our hands off each other. I'm sitting here right now thinking about her when I should be focusing on work. I haven't been at the office in almost a week and I'm behind. There are meetings, reports to review. I need to talk to my father about the Paris trip, yet I'm zoning out, wondering when I can see Caroline again. That we're back home and still wanting to see each other, still acting like a couple, that we want to actually be a couple, is huge. My "what happens in Paris stays in Paris" motto got thrown out the window, and I'm fine with it. We spent our last day in Paris touring around just like I promised. We went to the Eiffel Tower. We walked the Champs-Élysées. And Caroline was missing American food, so we ate lunch at a Five Guys burger place. We got on one of those hop-on, hop-off buses and rode all over the city. We did our damnedest to see as much as possible in those last hours we were there, and by the time we were back at the airport and boarding the plane, we were exhausted. We took a nap, we had sex, Heather was our flight attendant once again, and she served us a delicious late dinner. We watched a movie, had sex again. I can't get enough of Caroline. Pretty sure she feels the same way. I'm whistling as I check my inbox, prioritizing what I can, forwarding emails to Kelsey so she can take care of it. This is my favorite time of the day at the office, before everyone else is here, when it's nice and quiet, and I can concentrate without interruptions. Once 8 o'clock hits, the phone starts ringing, and Kelsey starts asking questions, and there are constant knocks at my door. It's hard to get shit done. That's why I stay late at the office, too. It's almost 8 when I can sense someone walking toward my office. I glance up from my laptop to see my father striding to the open door, his iPad clutched in one hand, and he looks furious.
Alex!
He stops at my desk, glancing down to tap at his iPad to bring a page up.
What is the meaning of this?
I take the iPad from him to see a British gossip website with a fuzzy shot of Manon and Caroline front and center and a headline. Revealed. Hotel magnat Alex Wilder's new fiancée, Caroline Abbott, is a total sham. My stomach twists as I read the short article. Fashion icon Manon Deschaux and her family met with the hotelier Alexander Wilder recently in Paris. Seems that the Wilder Corporation is looking to expand their company into Europe and are purchasing the last Deschaux Hotel family-owned building. His supposed fiancée, Caroline Abbott, accompanied him to France. I thought the relationship between Alex and his fiancée seemed off, Manon said. They weren't very loving toward each other. I decided to do a little investigating. Manon goes on to say she spent one-on-one time with Caroline, shopping with her and having lunch. I asked her about Alex multiple times, but she always changed the subject. I never got the sense they were a happy couple. After some investigating on Manon's part, she discovered Wilder had broken his engagement with another woman, Tiffany Ratcliffe from West Hollywood, only a few weeks ago. I knew something was suspicious, Manon said with her trademark cheeky smile. Feels like Alex was trying to pull one over on us. No word on the deal with Deschaux and Wilder Corporation yet, or if the supposed engagement between Alex and Caroline is still on. Stay tuned. I finish reading and find my father still standing there, his arms crossed, his expression stern. She's trying to ruin our deal, I tell him, setting the iPad down. Why would she care? That deal we just signed is only going to make her family richer. He grabs the iPad from my desk and tucks it under his arm. Did you make Manon angry? Or Louis? I thought you had all of this covered. There are photos of Tiffany and me on the internet, I remind him, rubbing my forehead. A headache is coming on, and I never get them. I'm guessing Manon decided to Google me and stumbled upon information about me and Tiffany. This is awful. My father collapses in his chair, exhaustion and worry written all over his face. I've tried to reach Alain, but he's not returning my calls. Let me try. I grab my cell, find Alain's number, and then use my desk phone to make the call. If it's 8 o'clock here, it's 5 Paris time. He should still be in the office. But his phone rings and rings until voicemail picks up. I leave a message and slam the phone into the receiver when I'm finished, frustration making me want to punch something. Guess he's avoiding us. You need to fix this. Father points at me. If this deal is ruined because of this article, the blame falls solely on you. I gape at him, shocked he'd say such a thing. You told me to go over there and make that deal happen, and I went over there. I made that deal happen. You told me to suck up to the Deschaux family. Well, I fucking sucked up to them. You said you wanted me to bring a fake fiancé to Paris, and I delivered. It's not my goddamn fault Manon Deschaux is a nosy, unhappy bitch, hell-bent on ruining other people's lives. I can't control her, despite the fact that I allow you to control me. I don't control you, he says indignantly. I can't help it. I start to laugh. Are you fucking serious right now? You've controlled us all our entire lives. Telling us where to go and what to do. Manipulating us into believing it's what we want, when it's really what you want. Meredith married Kevin to get away from you. That's why they got married so young. Did you know that? From the surprised expression on his face, I'm going to guess no. Yeah, it's true. She tried her damnedest to get out from under your thumb, even though she came back and still works for Wilder. But she defies you and argues with you on a constant basis, so yeah, I envy her bravery. Does that make me a coward, since I always went along with my father's wishes? He's been badgering me to get married, telling me time and again I need to settle down and think about having a family. He's been hinting at it for the past year, maybe two. His needling is half the reason I got engaged to Tiffany so quickly. And that is a really shitty reason to get engaged. I can see that now. You really believe I control you? All of you? He rises to his feet, still grasping hold of his iPad. I just want what's best for my family, for our company. I've never wanted to live your life. No, you just want to manage it. I exhale loudly, suddenly so exhausted, I feel like I could sleep for days. Now, if you could leave me alone. I have work to catch up on. He stands in the doorway of my office, sputtering for a few seconds, before he finally turns on his heel and walks away.
36. Caroline. I'm having the best day ever. Seriously, I didn't go to work, which is a total bonus. Oh, I tried to, but when I called Iris, she told me since she gave me today and tomorrow off, I shouldn't bother coming in. Enjoy your time back, she reassured me on the phone. Catch up on some sleep, but be prepared to share all the details of your trip when you get here Wednesday. I'll tell you all about it, I promised her with a laugh. Well, I won't tell her everything. Not yet. I still want to keep my relationship with Alex secret. It doesn't look right, us going out so soon after his relationship ended with Tiffany. Carmel and the surrounding area is small. Lots of people mix in the same social circles. News of their broken engagement has already made the gossip circuit. We don't need to add to it by revealing that we're together now. We'll keep it on the down low for another month or so. Maybe two. It's late afternoon Monday, and Stella's convinced me we need to go to her brother's restaurant and meet the rest of the girls for drinks during happy hour. She's already over there, since I fell asleep and ended up taking an almost 3-hour nap. Happy hour is still happening, so I'm hurriedly getting ready, hoping like crazy Alex will text me and I'll be able to leave Tuscany and go straight to his house for the night. I spritz on an extra dose of perfume and then leave our apartment, headed down the street toward Tuscany. The weather is perfect, warm with a slight breeze off the ocean. The sun is shining, birds are singing, and flowers are blooming. The sidewalks are filled with tourists, but not too many. I haven't heard from Alex all day, but I didn't expect to. I knew he'd be busy at work since he was gone for much of last week. Plus, I don't want to be one of those demanding girlfriends who expects a text every hour on the hour. That's just ridiculous. Crossing the street, I see the restaurant in the near distance, and there are people standing outside of it. The weekday happy hour is always a hit with the locals, so I'm sure it's busy inside. I can't wait to see my friends, show off my bag. I wore the Chanel earrings too, but not the rest of the jewelry. And I definitely didn't wear the engagement ring because, hey, we're not really engaged. No need to pretend anymore. I'm about to enter Tuscany when I hear a woman call my name. Turning, I expect to see one of my friends running up to me with a big smile. But instead, I find Tiffany standing there, making her way toward me. I go completely still, hating how the fight part of me of fight or flight just kicked in. I don't want to argue with her, but I don't want to look like a wimp who runs away from her either. Been there, done that. Finally ready to conquer my battles. Tiffany stops directly in front of me, dressed to kill in a clingy black dress that, damn it, looks great on her. Looks like you finally got caught, huh? She smirks. I have no idea what she's talking about. God, I hate her. Leave me alone, I say firmly, giving up on the fight as I turn to enter the restaurant. But she grabs my arm, stopping me. I shake myself out of her grip, ready to reach for my phone and call 911. Bitch needs to keep her hands to herself. Tiffany's gaze falls to the bag as I'm reaching into it, her smirk fading in an instant. Did he buy you that? Pay you off for being his fake fiancé while you two were in Paris? My body goes cold with shock. It's like I'm frozen in place when all I want to do is leave. What did you just say? The smirk is back, even smirkier this time. Is that even a word? You heard what I said. I asked if your new Chanel bag was payment for you pretending to be his fake fiancé while on your stupid trip. I slowly shake my head, panic threatening to choke me. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear what she just said. Fake fiancé? That's exactly what we were doing. How did she know? I don't know what you're talking about. Haven't been on the internet much today, huh? Well, that's too bad. I figured you'd have already seen the articles with Manon by now. She turns to the man standing beside her. I didn't even notice him until this very moment, and makes a huffy noise. I don't want to eat here, not if she's going inside. Let's go somewhere else, Eddie. They walk away, Tiffany never once looking back. I remain completely still, watching until they fade into the distance, and I finally reach for my phone, open up my browser, and tap in the words, Alexander Wilder, Manon Duchot. There are a total of 4 gossipy articles, all of them based out of the UK or Europe. Each of them is short, with only a little bit of information, but they all say the same thing. Manon claimed our relationship was suspect. She did a little research, discovered that Alex had been engaged to Tiffany only a few weeks ago. So therefore, the engagement between Alex and I must be fake.
No way that was a real relationship, Manon said. You're telling me he was engaged to another woman, broke up with her, and became engaged to Caroline, all in a matter of a couple of weeks? I find that hard to believe.
Oh, my God. I hate Manon Duchot with every fiber of my being. I stare at the front doors of Tuscany, the sound of laughter and happy chatter spilling outside. My friends are in there, waiting for me. One of them has already ordered me something to drink, and I bet they saved an appetizer for me, too. They're that thoughtful. That wonderful. I could go inside and collapse in my chair. I could cry and confess all to them. And they'd instantly make me feel better. I know they will. But for once in my life, I don't want to see my friends first and confess everything. I want to talk to Alex. I need to talk to Alex. I end up at Wilder Corporation 20 minutes later, thanks to taking an Uber. I don't own a car. I don't need to. Everywhere I go on a daily basis, I can walk. Stella has a car, so she drives us everywhere we need to go that's farther out, and she always lets me borrow it whenever I want. But I didn't bother asking Stella. Asking would have led to questions that I don't want to answer right now. I had the Uber driver drop me off in the back, near the building where Alex works. The parking lot is mostly empty, and I figure everyone is left for the day, though I spot Alex's car near the back of the lot. Just seeing it makes my stomach drop. He's here. Time to go talk to him. Luckily enough, the doors are unlocked and I enter the Wilder Corporation's offices. I find Alex still in his office, sitting at his desk, in a rumpled, button-down shirt with the sleeves rolled up to his elbows, staring at his laptop. His hair is mussed, his face is weary, and my heart pangs. I care about this man so much. It's almost scary how fast that happened. Yet I'm terrified to go talk to him. I'm scared everything's going to change. The problem? I know everything's going to change. He lifts his head, somehow sensing that I'm watching him, and our gazes meet. He doesn't smile like he did yesterday when we first saw each other. He doesn't rise to his feet either, so he can come greet me with open arms and a sweet kiss that makes my toes crawl. With leaden feet, I walk toward him until I'm inside his office, sitting in the chair opposite his desk. He remains seated, his expression impossible to read. And I hate that so much. I saw the articles, I tell him, deciding to be completely upfront.
Articles? There's not just one?
He runs a hand through his hair, messing it up even more. And despite the worry and frustration that clings to him, I still find him unbelievably handsome. Only an hour ago, I would have said that he was all mine. But now I don't think I can make that claim. I saw 4.
I only saw 1, in the Daily Post out of London.
He props his elbow on his desk, leaning his head into his palm.
What did you say to Manon to piss her off so thoroughly?
I sit up straighter, surprised by his question. I didn't say anything to Manon when we went out together. I let her do most of the talking.
Come on, Caroline.
He closes his eyes for a brief moment, inhaling deeply.
There had to be something you said that hit her wrong.
I told you everything that happened that day, Alex. I didn't leave out one detail. In fact, I was the nice one. I took care of her while she stumbled around the hotel drunk. She even thanked me for taking care of her. I can tell by the look on his face that he doesn't believe me. There's doubt in his eyes, tension in his mouth and jaw. His silence also is a dead giveaway. You don't believe me, do you? More silence. Alex, please, you have to believe me. I'm not lying. I would never lie to you.
Then what happened? Why did she go talk to the tabloids like that? What reason does she have to get back at us? At me?
Alex throws his hands up into the air.
It doesn't make sense. None of this does.
Maybe she's just a vindictive person. She doesn't care who she hurts, as long as she gets some sort of weird, twisted enjoyment out of it. What does it matter? I don't even bother telling him I ran into Tiffany. I don't need to add another layer to this shit show.
She may be an unpleasant person, but I doubt she's that evil,
he mutters with a shake of his head. See, that's the problem with guys. They can't see that there really are some evil bitches out there, who do things just because they can, you know? I'm not in Manon's head. I don't know what motivates her, but I do know she's very self-absorbed and curious. I remember the last thing she said to me before she got into the taxi.
You are a very mysterious woman. I long to find out more.
Well, she certainly did that, didn't she? So, what you're saying is that somehow this is my fault, and I ruined everything with your deal. I stare at him, hard, but he won't even look at me. I thought the contracts with the Duchos were already signed.
They were, but Alain won't return my or my father's calls. My father is furious at me. Closing this deal was put directly on my shoulders, and I fucked it up. Now my father doesn't trust me, and I'm sure Alain doesn't trust me either. He thinks I'm a complete liar.
He finally looks at me, his eyes dull with anger. Anger aimed right at me. I think what you're implying is that I'm the one who fucked it up. I'm the liar. I grab my purse and open it, turning it upside down so I can dump everything inside on the chair beside me. My wallet, my favorite lip gloss, my house key, and the Marie Antoinette compact mirror I picked up at the Louvre. Closing the bag, I lean over and set it on the edge of Alex's desk. You can have that.
Caroline.
I interrupt him. You can have these, too. I take off one camellia earring, then the other, and toss them onto his desk next to the bag. I don't want them anymore. They're just my payment for pretending to be your fake fiancé. And with those final words, I gather up my crap, stand on shaky legs, and leave his office. He calls my name, but I don't turn around. I don't want him to see me cry.
37. Alex. I don't sleep for shit. All I can think about is Caroline sitting in my office, dumping all of her belongings out of the Chanel bag and giving it back to me. She returned the earrings, too. The pain on her face when she called it all payment for being my fake fiancé. That hurt, like a sharp knife carving my heart up into little bitty pieces. Fucking Manon, her big mouth. I find it hard to believe that she did this for no other reason than to just fuck with us. But what else could it be? I want to believe Caroline, but it's difficult. She could have said something incriminating and not even realize it. She could have dropped a hint or two. Shit, I don't know. That's the worst part of it. I can't figure out why this happened. I don't know what's going on with Alain and the contracts we just signed. Is he going to back out of the deal? Do they think I'm a liar who can't be trusted? They have every right to feel that way. I am a liar. Bringing Caroline with me was a lie from the get-go. Yet, being with Caroline in Paris, even for that short amount of time, proved to me that I actually wanted to be with her. No one else. Just her. I was falling for her. I did fall for her. And now Manon's ruined everything. Oh, and I ruined everything too. Can't forget my part in it. When I glance at my phone and see it's 5 in the morning, I give up and go for a run. Outside, there's a dense, low-hanging fog, the ocean gray and turbulent, the atmosphere as moody as I was feeling. I run for miles until I end up back at the front of my house, my chest heaving, sweat pouring off of me as I gasp for air. That run does nothing to clear my mind like it usually does. Nope. Instead, I feel even shittier. I come into the office early because I've got nothing else better to do. I try to review quarterly reports, but I can't focus. I clean out my inbox and accidentally delete an email I need to answer, and for some reason it disappears completely from the server. Shit! I let the word fly, loud as hell since no one else is in here. I rarely curse at work. I like to keep my composure. I have an image to uphold, after all. But this morning I can feel my composure slipping. Hell, since yesterday it's been slipping, and it'll pretty much be gone by the time everyone arrives for their workday. In other words, we're all screwed. My father won't talk to me, not that I'm trying to talk to him either. I'm sure he didn't like me calling him a control freak, but sometimes reality is hard to face. And honestly, it felt good to finally be truthful with him, once and for all. My phone rings, not the desk phone, but my cell phone. I check who's calling and see Alain Deschaux's name flashing across the screen. I fumble for it, nearly sending my phone sliding off the desk and onto the ground. But my fingers clasp around the edges just in time. Sounding out of breath, I answer it. Alain, I'm so glad you called me back.
Sorry I didn't return your call yesterday, he says, hesitating for a moment before he continues. We were in a bit of a crisis mode.
Really, everything all right? I have no idea what he's talking about, and I'm not going to assume it has to do with Manon's big mouth. But it probably has everything to do with Manon's reveal.
It's better, yes.
His exhale is ragged.
I want to apologize, Alex, for what happened with Manon.
I go completely still. What do you mean, you want to apologize?
She's had some trouble for the last year or so. We tried to get her treatment, but she constantly refuses. But we check her in, and she immediately checks herself out.
Alain lowers his voice, as if he's revealing a secret.
Manon is an alcoholic, and she's addicted to pills. Painkillers.
Well, that is a pretty big secret he's revealing. I'm sorry to hear that, I say, trying my best to be polite.
Yes, well, from what I understand, she went shopping with your fiancé. She drank too much at lunch and made a fool of herself. Then she became paranoid, afraid your Caroline would reveal to the world that Manon is a drunk. So to retaliate, she made up a story about you and Caroline and how your engagement was fake to cover up her drunkenness.
Alas, sounds as tired as I feel.
I'm sorry she dragged you into this unnecessary predicament, Alex. Please, tell Caroline we're sorry as well.
You're not calling to cancel the deal? I ask incredulously.
Why would we do that? Alas, sounds just as incredulous. I signed the contracts. My word and my name is good.
Relief floods me, but I realize my word isn't good. Manon may have pulled us into her unnecessary drama, but she's not exactly a liar either. I need to be honest with Alain, as honest as he was with me. Leaning back in my chair, I glance up at the ceiling, praying I don't mess this up. Alain, I have a confession to make. An hour later, I'm in the lobby just outside my father's office, trying to convince his assistant he wants to see me.
He's on a very important phone call,
Marta says, her gaze not quite meeting mine. She's lying. And how do I know Marta is lying? I can clearly see on her giant desk phone that the light is off by my father's name, meaning he's not on the phone. He must have left instructions that he didn't want to talk to me. Well, he'll want to hear this. Tell my father the Paris deal is still happening. Marta frowns.
I'm not supposed to disturb him. For anyone.
I'll take the blame, please, Marta. I smile. She's been his assistant for 17 years. She's known me since I was a kid, and I've always been able to put on the charm where she's concerned. I need your help. Tell him. With an exasperated sigh, She stands and marches to my father's closed door, knocking twice before she slips inside. I wait impatiently, tapping my foot. After I talk to my father, I need to figure out how to approach Caroline and beg for her forgiveness. That I doubted her for even a minute makes me feel like a complete asshole. She most likely thinks I'm a complete asshole, too. The door opens and Marta's standing there with a frown on her face.
He'll see you, Alex.
I go to her, grasping her by the shoulders and pressing a kiss to her powdered cheek.
Thank you,
I tell her, before I slip inside my father's office and shut the door. He's sitting behind his imposingly large desk, his hands folded together, and I'm reminded of the times when I was a kid, about to get busted for whatever wrongdoing I was up to.
Alexander?
When he brings out the full name is when you know you're in big trouble. At least in my case, that's the way it went. He's mad at me, and I'm still a little mad at him, but he deserves to hear the good news. I spoke with Alain Deschaux. He raises his brows.
And?
The deal is solid. Turns out his daughter-in-law has a drinking problem, and she lashed out with that story as a way to protect herself from Caroline or us exposing her. It really makes no sense, but she's not thinking clearly, so I don't bother trying to figure it out.
So it's still going through.
The building is ours.
My father's voice is flat, emotionless, as if he's afraid to react positively. Yes, it's still going through. I thought you should know. I nod once and start to turn, ready to leave when my father stops me by saying my name. I face him once more.
Thank you for telling me,
he says, his expression a little less stern.
I'm sorry for what I said yesterday. I should have had more faith in you.
His apology is surprising. He's not one to apologize for much of anything, especially when it comes to business. I could probably count the times he's apologized to me during my lifetime on one hand.
I confessed all to Alain.
I collapse in a nearby chair, exhausted.
What do you mean?
I told him that Caroline was actually my fake fiancé. I had to be honest with him, considering he was so honest with me. I couldn't lie to him. The expression on his face changes. Is that pride I see?
And what did he say when you told him?
He said he didn't believe me, that Caroline and I acted too much like a couple in love. I chuckle, but there's no amusement there. I also said that we actually are together, though I think that might be done now.
What happened? Did she find out about the articles?
I nod. And she came to my office and we argued over it. I basically blamed her for everything, and she got mad, returned some of the stuff I gave her, and left. My father is quiet for a moment, studying me. I'm quiet, too, because what else can I say? I screwed this up. Badly. And I'm not sure I can fix it.
Do you love this woman?
He finally asks me.
I believe I could, I say honestly. I care about her. A lot.
Then go to her. Grovel. Tell her you made a mistake.
Women love it when you admit that you're wrong.
We don't do it that often.
He smiles, and so do I. Thanks for the advice, I say, hesitating before I add, and I'm sorry for what I said yesterday, too.
No, you were right. I am controlling.
He sighs.
I can admit it.
It's something I need to work on. I need to work on convincing Caroline that we belong together, I say, rising to my feet.
I should go. Let you get back to work.
Thank you, Alex.
I'm grabbing the door handle when my father calls my name one more time. When I turn to look at him, he's smiling at me.
I love you, son.
I smile back. I love you, too.
38. Caroline. It's been 5 days since my argument with Alex. Can I even call it an argument? It was more like a calm discussion,
with me quietly losing my shit and leaving him with my Chanel bag and earrings. Is it wrong that I miss my Chanel bag? Yeah, it probably is. But is it also wrong that I miss Alex? I do. I miss him so much. How can you miss someone who was a part of your life for such a short time? I didn't realize he made such an impact on me. He did, though. If we would have lasted, I bet we could have fallen in love. Maybe even get engaged for real. Got married. Honeymooned in Hawaii, like I said. Made a lot of babies. Oh, no. I need to get those thoughts out of my head. They lead me down a sad path I don't want to venture on. It's Saturday, and I'm at Noteworthy. It's busy. The spring tourist season is going full force, and there have been lots of families on spring break coming into the store. The majority of our business may be in save-the-date cards and wedding invitations for the locals, but the tourists buy all the cutesy knickknacks Iris always keeps in stock. Speaking of Iris, Caroline, may I have a word? Sure. I follow my boss back to her office and she sits behind her desk studying her planner. What's up? I have a conflicting appointment this afternoon and I need your help. She taps her pen on the edge of her planner, pressing her lips together. I'm not sure how this happened, but I'll need you to leave Noteworthy and head to the Wilder Hotel in Pebble Beach to meet with a couple. Dread slithers down my spine like icy cold fingers. The Wilder Hotel? I ask weakly. I do not want to go there. At all. Iris glances up at me. I know I don't usually ask you to handle the appointments out of the store. We usually don't allow appointments out of the store, I remind her. If we opened up to that, we'd be meeting couples all over the place. We'd have to hire more employees, and it would turn into a logistical nightmare. You're right. She rests her forearms on the edge of her desk and clasping her hands together. For this couple, I made an exception. I know them, personally. Oh? I sit in the chair on the other side of her desk. Who are they? Sandy and Fred Velasquez. They're friends of mine who recently reconnected after knowing each other years ago, and they're getting married. Iris smiles. They're from the area originally, but they live in Sacramento now. They came for the day to meet with their wedding planner and check out some locations to have their ceremony and reception. Their last meeting is at Wilder, and I promised I would send someone over with our online catalog to look at some options. Old friends who recently reconnected and fell in love. Sounds familiar. What time do I need to meet with them? I don't want to do this, but they're Iris's friends, and I already love their love story, so how can I say no? 5:30. You should probably leave around 5. So, say in 90 minutes? Iris suggests after checking her desktop for the time. Will do. I nod as I stand. Pausing, I contemplate her. Since when did we get an online catalog? I didn't tell you about it. When I shake my head as my answer, she makes a face. I've been so forgetful lately. Probably because I've had so much on my plate. Cassie's boyfriend is a coding genius. He's been working on our website, and one of the options he suggested was having an online catalog. It's not quite live yet for the public, but I can send you the link, and you can use it to show Fred and Sandy. Can you send the link to me now, so I can familiarize myself with it? I ask. Absolutely. Good idea. The look Iris gives me is warm. Thank you for helping with this last-minute meeting. You don't have to come back to the store when you're finished. Wasn't planning on it, I say with a little bit of sass as I get up from my chair and leave her office. You act like your boss loves you or something, she calls after me as I walk away. Love you too. I go to the front of the store, my phone buzzing. I pull it out of my dress pocket. Don't you love a dress that comes with pockets? To find, it's the catalog link from Iris. Opening it up, I see that it's set up in magazine form, and you can flip the pages with a swipe of a finger. All of our most popular products are there, including some new ones I haven't seen before. Excitement bubbles up inside me, and by the time I'm finished looking at the catalog, I'm glad I get to show this off to our new clients. And fine, if I have to go to the Wilder Hotel on Pebble Beach, at least the drive is nice. The view is excellent, and the hotel is gorgeous. It's a Saturday, so I doubt I'd run into Alex. My phone buzzes again, and it's a text from Stella. You holding up okay? Smiling, I type out my response. Better than okay. Iris is doing new things with the business that are so exciting. I'll share them with you later. She replies quickly. That's awesome. I'm glad you have your job to distract you. Work has definitely been the distraction I needed since my last conversation with Alex. My friends have been there for me too. Stella and I have had Netflix movie marathons and lots of ice cream every night. That she's willing to consume so many calories for me while I'm down and out says a lot. We all went out Thursday night to a bar that hosts Thirsty Thursday and got drinks for half price until 9. Kelsey came too, which was fun. Her being there helped me not talk about Alex the entire time, but her being there also reminded me of Alex, and I got a little tipsy because of it. Half-price drinks will do it too, especially when your friends keep buying you drinks so you can drown your sorrows. I didn't get stumbling drunk because that just reminded me of Manon. I saw on that same website that broke the story about me and Alex that she's in rehab. Good. I guess she needs the help. Does that make me feel sympathetic, though, after what she did to us? Nope, not at all. I take care of an appointment at 3, which took a little longer than normal. The bride-to-be was extremely indecisive, and she went back and forth between 3 options. I could tell her fiancé was exasperated, but he was so patient with her, it reaffirmed my feelings of true love. It's real. And just because I didn't get a chance to experience it this time around, my true love is waiting for me, somewhere. By the time it's almost 5, I'm gathering up my stuff, including my work iPad, where I already have the online catalog open in a browser window. I shove all my things into my tote bag and head outside to find Stella's car parked out front. I texted her when I realized I needed a car to get to the hotel, and she said she'd leave it parked outside for me. She left the keys with Cassie when she saw I was in a meeting, and told Cassie the car had a full tank. I really, really love my friends. I drive out to Pebble Beach, stressed because traffic is exceptionally heavy. I should have known better and left a little earlier. It's a Saturday, the weather is glorious, and everyone wants to go to the ocean. Hopefully I'm not late. By the time I pull into the front of the Wilder Hotel, I don't even bother trying to find a parking spot. I'm going to get valet parking instead. It'll save me time. And it's literally 4:59, so I'm basically late. The valet guy gives me a ticket and I give him my keys, then dash into the hotel. I've been here before, of course, even before I realized my Alex was the Alex Wilder. Wedding receptions are held here pretty much every weekend, and I've attended a few. My senior prom was here. I know my way around the convention area and where the ballrooms are. Iris texted me with the details, and we're meeting in ballroom 2. So I make my way there, practically tripping over my heels as I walk and run, walk and run. I must look like an idiot. I sort of don't care. By the time I'm standing in front of the double doors of ballroom 2, I pause, trying to control my accelerated breathing. I wish I brought my water bottle, but I left it in the car. My face feels sweaty, but hopefully it gives me that dewy look everyone's trying to achieve. I run a hand over my hair, straighten the skirt of my pale pink dress, rest my hand on the handle for a brief moment before I turn it and open the door. I stop short, my mouth hanging open when I see what's inside. Pink and gold balloons. Everywhere. They're covering the floor, they're hanging from the ceiling tied with long, curled, shimmery gold ribbon. A huff of laughter escapes and I cover my mouth, wondering if I'm in the wrong place. I see a card hanging from one of the balloons in the center of the room. Slowly, I approach it, kicking balloons out of my way as I walk across the floor. The heavy white cardstock has my name written on it in block letters. Turning the card over, I read the back. Look to your right. Glancing over, I see a giant poster, each top corner attached to ribbon from the balloons. I make my way over to it, wading through all the balloons covering the floor, and a gasp escapes me when I see it up close. I recognize that poster. It's one of my favorite Save the Date card options we offer. It has a heart in the center and our initials inside. C-A plus A-W. A sigh escapes me as a wave of emotion spills over me. Caroline Abbott plus Alexander Wilder. Above the heart in rose gold script, it says, Save the date. And just below the heart is, Today's date? I don't get it. A noise sounds from behind me, like someone kicked a bunch of balloons, and I glance over my shoulder to see Alex approaching me, cautiously, his expression full of hope. He stops where he's at when our gazes meet, the balloons clinging to his legs. He's wearing jeans and a black t-shirt, the most casual I've ever seen Alex look in the daytime, and my heart aches with the need to run to him. But I don't move. It's like I can't. More than anything, I need to hear what he has to say.
Caroline.
He clears his throat and I close my eyes for a second, savoring the sound of my name in his deep voice.
I was wrong.
When he says nothing else, like he's stuck, I ask. About what?
About everything. Manon figured out Tiffany and I were engaged on her own. And she leaked the information to the tabloids because she was afraid you'd tell the world that she's a drunk, he explains.
I frown. That's ridiculous. Who would I tell?
I don't know, he shrugs. She's not making much sense right now. She's also in rehab.
I saw.
But she doesn't matter.
He waves a hand, dismissing her.
You're the one who matters to me, more than anyone else. I know we haven't been together very long, and I messed it all up by not believing you. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Caroline. If I could take back what I said to you that day, I would. But I can't. It's out there. I hurt you, and I fucked everything up.
Tears spring to my eyes at the agony in his voice, the pain on his face. It's good to see that he's so torn up over it. Yes. That might sound petty, but he hurt me so badly by not believing in me, by not taking my side. I'm going to forgive him for it, though. I'm just going to make him grovel a little bit more first.
I don't want to lose you, but if I already have, I understand why. I was a complete ass, and there's no excuse for my behavior.
I interrupt him. You were worried about your deal with the Deschauts. I understand why you were so upset.
Doesn't excuse the fact that I didn't believe you,
he says. Realization hits me. Alex, you don't really know me that well. I can see why you didn't believe me, and you didn't call me a liar. I called myself a liar. I took offense to what he was saying when he was just trying to figure out what happened. He may have showed his distrust in me, but I also might have overreacted. Maybe we're both wrong in this situation.
I never thought you were lying to me. More like I wasn't sure if you said something and didn't even realize it, you know? I didn't get how she figured out what we did so quickly.
He shakes his head.
Maybe we shouldn't have started out our relationship with lies.
I crack a smile. It probably wasn't the smartest idea. He's smiling too.
That's why I did this. I wanted to celebrate today.
My smile fades, replaced by confusion. Why exactly are we celebrating today? And how did you manage this? I thought I was meeting up with a couple to go over their Save the Date cards.
I called your boss and explained everything. Iris came up with the plan to get you here, and she helped me order this Save the Date poster, plus all the balloons. The poster cost a fortune, by the way.
He teases as he heads toward me. I'm not surprised, I murmur, sucking in a breath when he stops directly in front of me. He's so tall and good. He's a good man. But why today?
We're starting over. I'm going to do this right this time.
He grabs both of my hands in his and gives them a squeeze.
Hi, I'm Alex.
A giggle escapes me. Hey, I'm Caroline.
I recognize you.
He squints at me, tilts his head to the side.
You're the girl who gave me my first kiss.
Heat spreads across my cheeks. We're being silly, but it's also really sweet. You were my first kiss, too.
I think about you all the time.
He admits, his voice soft.
You're all that I want, Caroline. And I desperately want another chance with you.
I press my lips together so I don't burst into tears, and all I can manage is a nod as my answer. He pulls me into his arms and holds me close, his hands sprawled across my back, his mouth at my forehead. He feels so good, so right.
This is going to be the start of something good, Caroline.
He murmurs against my temple.
I can feel it.
When he pulls away slightly to lift my face up to his and brushes his lips against mine, I know. I can feel it too. Epilogue. 1 year later.
It feels so weird sitting on the other side of the table, I tell Cassie as she's tapping away on her iPad.
This is good training for me, she says, all of her attention on the iPad screen. So let's try and be serious.
Dang it. And all I wanted to do was give Cassie a hard time during the entire order process, act like one of those horrific bridezillas I've dealt with in the past. Actually, I still deal with them, but not as much as I used to. I have Cassie to thank for that. She wanted to work more hours, and Iris and I have been training her to be my assistant in the wedding department for the past month. Iris plans on semi-retiring in 2 years and will reduce the amount of time she'll come into Noteworthy.
Which means I've taken on the position of store manager. And a year before she retires, I'll start buying into the store. Meaning it will become mine one day.
Yes. Yes, I know I complained about it before. The mere idea of possibly owning Noteworthy overwhelmed me to the point that I didn't want to think about it. My friends changed my mind, though. They tell me all the time that I can do whatever I set my mind to. And finally, I started to believe them.
So, we're just ordering the Save the Date cards today? Cassie asks as she pulls out the paper order form.
We can't get rid of it. I mean, we do mostly sell paper at Noteworthy.
Yes, I say with a nod, glancing over at Alex, who's sitting in the chair next to me. He smiles and leans over, giving me a quick kiss, like he can't stand to not touch me, which is sort of the truth. We're actually pretty annoying if that sort of thing bothers you.
You two are so obnoxious, Cassie mutters with a shake of her head, but all I can do is grin. She broke up with her code-genius boyfriend a few months ago, and she's still all down on love and relationships. And I'm not smiling because of her feeling like that. More like, I know what it's like to feel that way. Been there, done that. Found the right man, and the rest is history.
Which ones do you want?
Alex asks me. Cassie taps a few times on the iPad before she turns it so it's facing us.
She wants that one, I think.
The Save the Date card is the same one that Alex used as our poster. My all-time favorite card.
That's it, I tell her.
You would pick that one,
Alex says, a teasing glint in his eyes.
Of course I would.
I run my left hand over his thigh, admiring my engagement ring yet again. He gave it to me a few weeks ago, out on the back deck at his house, right when the sun was setting. He got down on one knee and asked me to be his wife, and I cried and cried like a baby, overwhelmed with love. When I opened the box, it was a different ring than the one I wore in Paris, set in white gold with a single diamond in the center and tiny diamonds around the entire band. It took my breath away.
It's the same stone from my mother's engagement ring, the one you wore before,
he told me when he slipped the ring onto my finger.
I just had it placed in a new setting.
I love it so much. It's all mine, yet connected to his family, who I love. They've all embraced me into the fold, even his grumpy father. I get along with Meredith and her husband, and I love Alex's niece and nephew. and his younger brother James. In fact, we have plans to go golf with James later this afternoon. But first, we need to order our Save the Date cards. When are you getting married? Cassie asks, her gaze meeting mine. I see the curiosity there. I haven't really told anyone if we've set the date, and they're all dying to know. September of next year, I say, sitting up straighter. I just wanted to give us plenty of time to get those cards and have them ready. I'll send them out exactly a year from our wedding date. Cassie laughs, shaking her head. Caroline, it's only May. You still have plenty of time. Hey, it's never too soon. Plus, I'm an ambitious organizer, so sue me. I say with a little shrug, making Alex laugh. We wrap up our order and leave Noteworthy 30 minutes later, walking up the sidewalk toward Alex's car, hand in hand in the warm sunshine. Giddiness makes my heart light when I look at him, knowing that he's all mine, that our love is real, not some fake story we made up to impress other people. I still live with Stella. I'm not moving in with him until we're married, so there. And he's still a workaholic, though I've taught him how to put down the phone or the laptop and focus on living in the moment. We're not perfect, and sometimes we argue, but never for long, and never over anything major. We're pretty compatible, like we were made for each other. It just took us a few times to actually get it right.
When is Carter coming back into town?
Alex asks as we pass by a real estate office. He told me next weekend. I think you've really convinced him to move back here, I say. Our relationship has helped improve my relationship with my big brother since Carter and Alex have reconnected. I'm even talking more to my mother. Being around Alex's family so much made me realize I should stay in closer contact with mine. It's been nice having a stronger relationship with my family and with Alex's. Of course, my friend circle is still awesome. We've permanently added Kelsey and now Cassie to the mix. We all, or most, depending on who's busy with what, get together at least once a week, usually at Tuscany so Stella's brothers can give us a deal on drinks and appetizers and we can Instagram the crap out of it. It's a total win-win. In fact, I'm pretty much winning at life right now, and it's a really great feeling.
He should definitely move back here. The real estate market is booming up and down this state.
Alex says when we stop by his car. He pulls me in for a soft, lingering kiss.
Ready to go back to Paris?
No, there's still so much I need to do. I rest my hand on his chest, marveling for about the 1,000th time at how firm and muscular he is. We leave for France next week. They've started renovations on the new hotel, and Alex wants to see how renovations are going. Plus, it's an excuse to go to Paris. I can't wait.
Like what?
He asks with a frown after we got into the car. He starts the engine, shifts into gear, and pulls away from the curb. I need to shop for some new clothes. I need to buy a new suitcase. I need to make an itinerary. This time around, I'm making sure I have enough time to really see Paris, and not just cram it all in on one day.
I'm sure we'll see the Deschaux, and I wonder if that includes Manon.
I won't be going on any shopping excursions with her, that's for sure.
I'll buy you whatever you need in Paris,
Alex tells me with a smile.
You don't have to pack a thing.
Right, so you can keep me captive in our suite buck naked? I tease him, and his gaze grows heated. He always has sex on the brain, I swear. But so do I. Again, with us being a perfect match and all that.
Sounds like a good plan to me,
he says. I watch him as he drives, as he steers us out of Carmel so we're heading toward Pebble Beach. I'm suddenly overwhelmed with love for this man, and I settle my hand on his thigh, leaning over the center console to press a kiss to his cheek.
What was that for?
He asks. I'm just so glad you're mine, I laugh. So thankful Tiffany brought you to Noteworthy. He grimaces.
I guess we do have her to thank, huh?
Yes, can you believe it? Good old Tiffany. Last I heard, she moved back to West Hollywood with Ed, and they're trying to be fitness influencers on Instagram. Not that I follow them. But I do check out their profile on occasion.
Like, every day. But don't judge, okay? You'd do the same thing if you were me. And trust me, I've never been more thankful for Tiffany being engaged to Alex than I am at this very moment. Life works in mysterious ways. Hopefully, most of us are lucky enough to benefit from the mystery. This concludes the reading of Save the Date by Monica Murphy. Copyright 2019 by Monica Murphy. This book was read by Ava Lucas and Jack DuPont. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with New Leaf Literary and Media and was produced in 2019 by Blackstone Publishing, which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Publishing. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.